Are you looking to make a podcast? Well, if you haven't heard about Anchor, it's the easiest way to make a podcast. Let me explain. First off, it's free. Nothing is better than free. Am I right? Anchor provides creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will distribute your podcast for you, so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and many more services. You can make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership, which is very refreshing for very fresh, new podcasts looking to get their start. It's everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. What could honestly be better than the serenity and peacefulness of being at a cabin in the middle of the woods? It seems not everybody has great memories and good times out in the wilderness. These subscribers sent in what they claim to be true cabin in the woods stories that'll freak you out tonight. If you have a story that you would like to share in a future episode, whether it be a cabin in the woods story or something completely different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. I would love to share your story with everyone here in the swamp, and stories like yours that help us keep this channel going. Before we get into these stories, I do want to make a quick announcement. If you notice, you'll see a join button down there. If you click that join button, you'll see three tiers. You can now, basically like Twitch, subscribe to the channel with a small monthly payment, and you'll get a bunch of cool perks. You'll get early access to videos, exclusive emotes, and much, much more. You can learn all about that by hitting the join button. Now, let's get into these creepy cabin in the woods stories. I'm a big fan of horror stories. There's nothing better than sitting at home on a cold, rainy day, listening to allegedly true horror stories wrapped up tight in a giant blanket, pretending to be a human burrito. But listening to these stories and actually experiencing them is a road I never wish to cross again. I, myself, am an 18-year-old dude from a small country in Europe. I have a great body build, from all those years in the gym and excess amount of protein. I lived my life in one of the biggest cities in my country, but I never shied away from going to the countryside to get a bit of that countryman life. So, in the summer of 2019, I and two of my friends Martin and a guy everybody called Wolf decided to go binge drinking in a log cabin which was located 35 miles from the nearest city. It doesn't seem that far, but none of us had driver's licenses at the time. So, at about 7 p.m, we hopped on a train and went to the woods. From there, we had to walk about 3 miles to the glorious two-story log cabin. Inside on the ground floor, there was a kitchen and a bedroom. Upstairs on the second floor, there was a small hallway which led to another bedroom with separate beds. I and Wolf established our presence in the second floor bedroom, and Martin settled down in the ground floor bedroom, like the little loner he is. We were prepping food and drinks, listening to music, never minding that we were located in the middle of the woods miles from the nearest civilization, but we had a lot of drinks and snacks. What else do you need, am I right? About a half mile from the cabin there was a giant pond. After a few beers, we went there thinking we could go for a swim, but seeing the unnaturally dark water and a little forest of reeds, we decided that it was not worth it. I mean, we are not going to risk getting rashes from the dirty water or cutting our legs on litter that probably roams on the bottom. So we went back to our cabin. The evening was extraordinarily beautiful and peaceful. The red and purple sky was stunning, accompanied by the giant bonfire we made for the night, full of marshmallow roasting and drinking. When the night came, we were quick to drink, and at about 1 a.m, we were all at a good state of drunkenness. Some more than others, because Martin was already passed out in his folding chair. Wolf and I carried him to his room and put him in bed, leaving all the doors wide open. Everything outside was pitch black, and our smart asses didn't bring a flashlight, but with one friend sleeping and us getting bored, we decided to walk back to that pond we had previously been to and make a small campfire there. But as we got near the trail that leads to the woods, we heard leaves crunching and twigs snapping like somebody was quickly walking just behind the trees about 30 feet in front of us. We quickly stopped. Wolf whispered, "Yo, I think someone's there." "It can't be. It's a private territory. It must be the wind or something," I said. Being quite drunk and acting brave, I loudly shouted, "If there's someone there, put your dick high up in the air." Yeah, very mature, I know. Then the sound stopped. It was as if the thing that was making those sounds never even was there. Not being able to see because of the darkness, we got a bit creeped out and started to walk back to the cabin, talking about how funny it would be if somebody actually lifted their, thing in the air after me saying that. But what I heard then made my heart sink. From the inside of the cabin, we could hear an ear-piercing scream. It was Martin. We rushed to the entrance of the cabin, and then we saw it. A pale, gray-skinned humanoid creature. It was about 5 feet tall with disproportionately long arms and webbed fingers. Its legs bent backwards and were super skinny. The face had two giant black eyes, and the mouth was opened, showing a row of long, pointy teeth. The creature was holding Martin's leg while he was screaming inhumanly loud. I never thought a human could produce such a high-pitched scream. The thing had to run past us at some point and get inside the cabin. I was so scared that I wanted to pee myself. We had to somehow get past that thing and get inside. Thinking quickly, we picked up the biggest pieces of firewood and started throwing them at the creature. We both missed, but luckily, it let go of Martin's leg and jumped back into the forest. We quickly dragged Martin inside, closed all the windows and doors, locked ourselves in on the second floor bedroom, and our backs were pressed against the door. Martin's leg was badly scratched. We poured vodka on the wound and DIY bandaged his leg. The rest of the night we heard scratching at the entrance door and windows. We were afraid that it would break the windows and get inside, but luckily for us, it never did. At one point the scratching stopped, so Wolf went to the window and checked if it was gone. But to his horror, it was standing outside the window looking straight at him. When the sun came up, we checked through all the windows for the creature. It was seemingly gone. We had to get out of the woods. After a couple of hours of being absolute scaredy cats, we finally grew a pair and started running as fast as we could. The journey to the train station was the longest in my entire life. I was afraid to see that creature again at any corner that we turned, but we managed to get home safe. We didn't tell anyone what we saw. Nobody would believe us anyway, because honestly, I never believed those scary stories I listened to either. The creature was similar looking to the Dover Demon, but not quite the same. I still don't know why the creature didn't attack me and Wolf. Maybe it saw Martin as easy prey while he was in his drunken state. But well, I'm happy it all ended good, at least. I think the creature came from that pond. Those webbed hands indicate that the creature must be semi-aquatic. So whether I'm right or not, I'm super glad that we didn't go for a swim there. It could have ended much worse if we had. This takes place in May of 2017. Me, my dad, brother, and grandfather had reserved a cabin in northern West Virginia for a fishing and camping trip. That morning, we were deciding to go or not due to thunderstorms. We decided to try and dodge the storm by going camping in southwestern Pennsylvania instead. After driving around, we decided upon a quaint little family campground. We were able to get a cabin on arrival since this was during the week, and due to the threat of rain, not many people were there. One of my family's favorite spots, if not favorite, of camping is sitting around a campfire and being together. We brought a little standing tent to put over the fire, so we could have the fire during the rain. We got a little fishing in on the campground's pond as well, but not much for the next 2 days we were there. Anyway, we were sitting around the fire in the early afternoon when an all-black figure quickly walked up a steep hill clear of trees that led up to a small road. It moved straight up and then to the left before disappearing in the woods. There didn't appear to be any trails and it was too steep for a person to walk up so fast. It was relatively large as well. It was also jet black in color. I don't know what it was that we saw that day. I don't know. It was a wet spring afternoon and not many things were out. But whatever it was distracted us and creeped us out. That night I had this overwhelming feeling of being stared at in the cabin windows. I guess it's really not too terrifying and probably not the scariest thing you've ever shared, but I thought I'd send it into the show anyway. And if you do decide to use it, thank you very much for sharing my story, Swamp. If anybody knows what this could be, please let me know. Again, this was in southwestern Pennsylvania. I'm not sure of the cryptids or other wildlife that are here. My name is Mickey, and I'm a 17-year-old male. I live in a small town with a lot of forest and woods, so it's pretty common to see hunters out and around town with their gear. Hunting is pretty big in our town, and with that comes a few days off early in the school year just for kids to go hunting with their family. Me telling you all this will make more sense pretty soon, and will help you make do of our situation. So, about a year ago, I was with a small group of close friends named Ethan, Zach, and Joss. Since our town's so boring, we have to make do with what we have, and that leads to more illegal activities like exploring abandoned buildings, since our town has a lot of those. It was getting pretty dark out, and all of us decided to leave Zach's house and go to an abandoned cabin in the woods that our friend earlier that day was telling us about. We texted him and got the address, and unfortunately he could not go with us that night, but told us it's a pretty steep, muddy walk up through the woods, and to get there, so we had to wear good shoes so we wouldn't get hurt. With that info, we drove about 20 minutes out into the countryside of the town, so no cars were really coming past us at this point, and luckily, got to the destination as our phones lost service right at this point. We found a good place to park on the side of the road and make our way up the steep hill. Our friend was right, and it took us a while to get up, but the walk was worth it, because ahead of us was a beautiful cabin with custom wooden carved statues out in front of the house, and a unique copper roofing. Any first analysis made me think it was a vacation home because of the size of the structure, but was too torn on the side of the house to be anything at this point. I wouldn't say the building could be called abandoned. All it needed was a little renovation to be good as new. Of course, we weren't going to pass up on such a location to explore and walk through the broken wall to get in. It led us inside to the main living room, which, without the context of the outer house, you would think was a hotel lobby. We turned on our phone flashlights because it had gotten darker outside and didn't help the inside interior lighting. We took videos and Snapchats of the place and made our way to the basement after Zach called us to it. We all were a bit jumpy and nervous at this point, but had to see what was down there. Curiosity killed the cat, as they say. I couldn't explain why I felt so anxious because the place didn't give off horror movie vibes, but something about the chill and coldness of the basement seeping through the bottom of the door was very odd, especially since it was so warm outside. After a bit of arguing over whether we should leave the door closed or not, and move on our way, we decided to open it. Ethan was the one to man up and slowly edge to the door. We all got instantly quieter and started to slowly push each other down the steps. It was very dark, but a green glowing light around the corner wall steps was flickering in and out. I was leading the group, and as I go to turn my head to see what was down there, a huge stomping sound charges me, and I flip my head around and I scream to run. We all bolt up the steps and hear stomping behind us. We run to the hill, and as I get ready to dip down the hill, Zach drops down and stares at the house. Whoever was behind us was not behind us anymore, and I drop beside Zach, Dalton, and Ethan. In a normal situation, people would leave, but as I said before, this town is very boring, and we never have this much fun going on in our life. It was so dark that the person could not have seen us, which was good, but also bad because we wouldn't be able to see them. We lay there in silence for a moment and stare at the house. We all hold our breath as we hear something scraping the wood inside the house. A man comes out dragging something large in a trash bag. It could have been a body, but Zach said it could have been a deer. Me and Ethan being how we are instantly assuming it was a body, were very scared. The man seemed in a hurry and dragged whatever was in the bag over to a four-wheeler, which we didn't notice earlier at the front of the house. The man then just drove off at a tremendous speed. When he turned on the lights to his vehicle, though, this is where I got freaked out. There was a lot of blood covering the pavement, and looked as if something was dragged across to create the blood trail. As he drove away, I got a better look at the bag and noticed it could not have been a deer because it was too small and extended farther outwards instead of more on a large scale like an animal would be. After watching all this go down, we went back down to the car and went home. About a year later, we didn't think much about it anymore, but it was recently brought up in a conversation with kids at school, and no one believes us, after all of us swore it happened. We didn't end up telling parents or police about the situation because of the fear of getting in trouble, and none of this really did amount to anything other than us getting scared. But I wanted to share this experience and to see what everyone else thinks about it. Thanks for sharing my story, Swamp. I appreciate it. This story takes place some time ago. I was roughly around 13 years old at the time, if I remember correctly. And at the time, I was staying with my mom and older sister. I was at my late great-grandfather's cabin in the middle of the woods with them. We were visiting. It was a dark night around mid-August, and we had been spending the summer there. Now, this cabin has always had its distinct personality. My great-grandfather had built it himself after he finished fighting in the war during World War II. The interior is made up entirely of dark wood. The furniture still has that old pre-war Nordic and Eastern European feel to it, where my family is from. Carolean-style, hand-woven carpets line up the floors and the walls are decorated with old, worn-out framed photographs of unknown but serious-looking relatives of my family from the past. The house has always had a somehow mysterious, a little offsetting, but still calming feel to it. Me and my sister, being curious kids, had, just on the previous day, looked through some old photo albums belonging to our great-grandparents. We had found them in the library. A decision we had both regretted. As it turns out, it was customary back in the day to photograph the dead, and as you could guess, the albums dated after the war were filled with photos of dead bodies, sitting or lying next to their relatives. We went through the album, and there were tons of them, from grown-up adults to little dead kids to actual babies in tiny coffins. And what made it worse was almost all the photos were taken unmistakably right in front of this cabin on the yard. We shivered, and wondered if the bodies had been buried here too, but decided at that moment together we would never ask about it. I mention this photo album detail because it's relevant for understanding why I was already feeling creeped out that night. That evening, I and my sister had decided to sit in the candlelit living room and read horror books together, because why not? We were staying in an old cabin after all, and it felt atmospherically appropriate. My mom, being a night owl and insomniac, had decided to go for a sauna and shower in the middle of the night. The cabin's wooded sauna is located in the stone basement of the cabin. Another important detail is that this cabin is quite literally in the middle of the forest, in the middle of nowhere. There are a handful of neighbors who live at least a kilometer away, which would be roughly about a half a mile. The whole community has lived there for generations, and everybody knows everybody, so as a rule, we never had a habit of locking the front doors when staying there. The only person that ever locked the front door to the cabin was me, and I always did it accidentally by slamming the door too hard, so it automatically locked. So it was midnight, my mom was down in the basement, and my sister and I were reading horror stories in the living room. We were in a mostly light mood, despite both of us feeling a bit creeped out, when suddenly out of nowhere we hear a faint knocking on the door. We both jump up. We barely ever had visitors during the day, and nobody has ever shown up unannounced during the night to this place. We decided that moment that we are probably mistaken and feeling spooked by the stories, and it must have been the wind that was making the noise. But no, after a few moments, the faint calm knocking came once again. Then, louder knocking followed. We realized that undeniably there had to be somebody out there, and they had wanted to get in. In horror, we both ran to the kitchen to grab something to defend ourselves with. I grabbed the biggest kitchen knife I could find, and I had a quick chat with my sister on whether we should go to the basement to get our mom or not. The knocking continues, and this time whoever it was wasn't knocking on the door anymore, but they had moved to the curtain-covered window next to the door to knock on instead. My adrenaline kicked in and I was feeling a little braver, so we decided to walk slowly towards the front door, and I decided to peek out the window. I moved the curtain slightly to the side to have a look. However, I see nothing but darkness out there. I closed the curtain and turned to my sister, when suddenly, that somebody tries to pull open the door very aggressively. We both flinch, but thankfully, as I was the last person to enter the cabin that evening, the door is locked. At this point, it is just us, two kids with kitchen knives, and some strange person trying to get into our cabin in the middle of the night, and the only thing separating us is an old wooden door. At this point, we had enough spooks, so my sister runs down to get my mom from the basement as I stand to shake by the door, holding a big-ass knife. I hear footsteps on the front porch, but no more knocking or attempts to open the door. My mom comes upstairs and she seems to be in disbelief that anybody would be trying to get in at this hour. We all stay in the living room waiting for more sounds, but an hour passes by and we hear nothing. Until suddenly, we hear a loud, panic knocking on the door. We all jump at the sound and my mom goes rapidly to the window to open the curtain to see who it is. Checking to see who it is, she mutters something. "What the?" and slowly opens the door. We hear her exchange a conversation with a woman whose voice is familiar. We walk over to check who it is and realize that it's her aunt, my mom's sister, who lives on the other side of the country, standing in front of our porch in the middle of the night. She looks scared and panicked. My mom keeps apologizing to her. "No, sorry, you can't stay here. I'll order you a taxi somewhere safe," and closes the door. After some time, we see a taxi arrive and watch her leave with it. Our mom double checks the door and makes sure it's locked and comes over to make us feel okay, but she looks worried. We asked her what happened, and she tells us that her sister had told her that there had been a dispute, and now she's been chased by a handful of dangerous and angry men that want to kill her, and they're trying to track her down. She's been trying to run and hide from them for 2 days straight now. She's always lived a kind of wild life, but this was something new. The part of this story that really brought me chills, though, is that my aunt claims she had just arrived at our front porch that very moment when we all heard the panic knocking on the door. She certainly had not been standing there quietly for an hour, knocking on the windows. Meaning that whoever was the person faintly knocking on the door about an hour before her arrival wasn't her. We have no idea who it was or what their intentions were, but I know that given the extraordinary circumstances, I would reckon it was likely one of the men that was trying to track her, or maybe a ghost or something. Either way, I don't know. I'll still keep thinking about that night, though. Whatever could have happened had that door not been locked. Growing up, summers in my family were the best. Because for 1 month, my sister and I were sent up to Minnesota to my grandma and papa's cabin. My dad, their son, is the oldest of three boys, and my uncle's kids, Ryan, Alexandra, and Tyler, join us up there. From 7 to 17, my fondest memories were spent at that cabin. Then my grandmother got sick and died. Papa didn't go up to the cabin very much, and us kids were all teenagers. My sister and Ryan were away at college, and the rest of us were in high school. The years went by and then Papa died and the cabin was left to all three boys and my dad and uncle decided to sell the cabin and split the proceeds. However, my dad asked if any of us grandkids wanted one last trip to the cabin. My sister, her wife, myself, Tyler, and his girlfriend were the only ones able to make the trip. When we opened the door to the cabin, we remarked it didn't smell stale like places do when they've been abandoned for 5 years. My sister told us there was a caretaker and she must have aired out the place. As we cooked dinner that night, we noticed there was a small bag of food in the fridge. Again, we wrote it off as the caretakers and went about our night. That night, I was in bed and I heard what sounded like someone moving around the kitchen. I figured it was one of the others getting water or something to eat. The next morning, my sister asks us which one of us was making a ruckus. I chime in and tell her I was woken up too. However, Tyler and his girlfriend insist it was not them, and it definitely wasn't me. So, this is where things start getting creepy. They were in the loft, we were in the lower bedrooms. So we freak out for a second trying to figure out who was in the house. We check the doors and windows, but nothing was broken and everything seemed to be locked. That afternoon, everyone wants to go to the lake, minus my sister. She had a migraine at the time, so we didn't force her to go. So we are at the lake swimming and hanging out when we hear screaming and see my sister running towards us like she is a bat out of hell. Breathless, she's hyperventilating, but we are able to make out someone in the house. Tyler and I run towards the house. Both of us are military, and it's like second nature. The door was wide open, and we aren't sure if the intruder was still in the house. We grabbed a fire poker and looked around, but he was gone. Long gone. We called the police. They came over, and we put together that he was most likely homeless and had been squatting in the cabin as it's been mostly empty for the last few years. We found a rolled-up sleeping bag, cans of tuna, and a lantern in the basement. My sister said she heard noises in the kitchen and figured it was one of us. She came into the kitchen and saw this guy with long, scraggly hair and a beard. Supposedly, he wasn't expecting her, and he had gotten a shock. That's when my sister took off. My cabin ended up selling a few months later, and from what my uncle tells me, they never had issues with that guy again or any other sort of things. Not the creepiest story out there, but definitely was creepy to us at the time. And to anybody who's ever had intruders will definitely know what I mean. It just feels like it's such an invasion of privacy, and you just feel so dirty after somebody enters your home. Anyways, thank you for sharing my story. My father lived in Tasmania for all of his childhood and some of his adult life. His mother was the principal at the local high school, which my dad attended. Every day, since his mom would stay a bit later, my dad and his brother, my Uncle Sam, would ride into the bushland behind the school on their bikes. One day, their mom had a late meeting, so they went a bit further than usual. They rode down to this creek and saw this log cabin. Obviously, being young teenage boys, they were curious and went to investigate this cabin. They dropped their bikes and ran to explore. When they opened the door, this old man was sitting on the ground reading a book. He yelled something at them, something around the lines of, "Get out." He then stood up and told them to never come back or he would kill them. So my dad and uncle grabbed their bikes and got the heck out of there as fast as they could. One day, maybe a few weeks after this event, they decided to go back to the cabin. My uncle was a bit hesitant, but my dad was very keen to explore. He was always a very brave soul. When they arrived, they looked through the broken window to see if the man was there. He wasn't, so they proceeded to enter, very cautiously though, slowly making their way in. The whole floor was covered in newspapers and there were many empty soup tins and etc. on the floor. They found some Atlas comics and started reading them, but stopped after they noticed a gross smell. They opened the cupboard, which was laid flat down on the ground, and saw what they thought was the man. He was bundled in newspaper, and blood was leaking through the articles. My dad and uncle ran. They grabbed their bikes and went straight to the school where they told their mom, who called the police. When my dad and uncle asked what happened to the man, their mom said, who was confused, they said that he was fine. Then, they asked why he was bleeding, wrapped up, stuck in a cupboard. Their mom said to explain to them that the man wasn't the one in the cupboard. Apparently, it was a young woman who worked at the school. The police reckoned that he lured her up there and killed her using a chisel. The man wasn't caught until 5 months later, when he was found camping out 4 kilometers uphill. He was charged for the murder of 3 people, the woman who worked at the school and 2 other young boys who must have also gone camping near him. My dad often thinks about what would have happened if he and his brother didn't have bikes or if the man didn't give them a warning the first time. F- Thanks for listening to these creepy, allegedly true cabin in the woods stories sent in by viewers just like you. If you enjoyed these stories and they gave you a good spook, be sure to hit that like button as it helps me out a ton. If you're new to the swamp, why not subscribe and turn on notifications to never miss a new video. I upload them almost every single day, and all things natural and supernatural. If you have a story you would like to share in a future video, whether it's a cabin story or something different, be sure to submit it at swampdweller.net or the email you can find in the description down below. It would be my honor to share your story with everyone here in the swamp. It's stories like yours that help these videos keep going. As I said in the intro of the video, I recently got access to the membership option. And as I said before, basically it's 3 tiers. You can pick one and you'll get different perks. If you want extra exclusive stuff like early access to videos, exclusive streams, exclusive Swamp Dweller emotes, etc., etc., this is the best way to go. It's similar to Twitch. If you've ever supported a Twitch streamer, it's basically the same thing. Thank you guys for watching these videos as always. We're getting pretty close to 140,000 swamp-dwelling creatures out there. I'll see you guys soon with another creepy video. And as always, the code word for this video, if you made it all the way to the end, is Shocking Pikachu. Let's confuse all those people and see how many of you actually listen to the end. I appreciate you guys, and I'll see you soon.